Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service this morning, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now let's have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, October the 18th. The key word is steadfast, and the affirmation is, I am a steadfast spiritual seeker. No matter where I may be on my path, sometimes my spiritual life feels easy, and sometimes it feels hard. There are times I enjoy new insights, blissful clarity, and peace. Other times I may struggle, feeling stuck and directionless, or even lonely on my walk with God. At times like these, I renew my commitment to my spiritual path. Although my attention may have wandered, the divine presence within me has always remained steadfast, as near as my next thought. Wherever I am in space, time, or consciousness, I discover the love, strength, and wisdom of God expressing through me. And the scripture is taken from Psalm 139, 9 through 10. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So before we get started, I just want to share that some of the conversations I might have been having lately might demonstrate, or probably is demonstrating, that I'm looking for answers beyond what the answers we're hearing now. And that means totally in all areas, whether it's, you know, answers for how to deal with the racial unrest, the pandemic, COVID-19, all the things that are happening in the world right now. My mind is sort of looking for a collective understanding, as opposed to how do we deal with the racial unrest, how do we deal with the pandemic, how do we deal with what's going on in terms of how the earth is responding with fires and rain. I'm more or less looking for a collective answer as opposed to individual answers. So sometimes when I respond or say things, it might sound like I don't appreciate what is being done now by various individuals in order to deal with these different situations. But it's just for me personally, I'm looking for something more on a universal scale, something more from the direction of the universe in terms of what is all of this about that's going on right now. And that's sort of what led to the title of the talk this morning is, what's the goal here? That's sort of what we're looking at. What is the goal here? What are we doing here? We in general, what is our purpose for being here? What's the real purpose for us being here on this earth planet? That's what I'm striving to try to understand. And what is the objective of all this teetering, back and forth between joy and pain and security and fear and struggle and overcoming and conflict and harmony? What's the purpose of this constant emotional pendulum swing that these situations have us going through? Is that why we are here in this worship service and the services around the country and around the world? What are we trying to accomplish? What is it that we're really trying to get to is what I'm, getting at. And so many of us would answer this question with, what is it that we really want? We would say we want peace and happiness. That's sort of the standard answer. We want peace and happiness. And, what is that? Is that what we really want? Each of us would probably have a different you know, way of saying it, you know, we went around and said, well, what is peace and happiness to you? And we each described that in a different way. You know, some may say that they want to be free of physical and emotional pain. Some may say to live a happier, more fulfilling life. Some want more, you know, harmonious relationships. And of course, you know, there's always more money. You know, we all could use more money. That's, you know, that's kind of a standard for most of us. But, you know, in the final analysis, all of us are saying the same thing. What we truly want is the peace and happiness that comes from living a joyful and fulfilling life, whatever that looks like for each one of us, all right? Because no two of us want, you know, really the same thing in terms of how we would describe it. So our one definition for peace is that it's a truce or a release from the cycle of going through joy and pain, fear and security, struggle and overcoming, conflict and harmony, you know, lack of prosperity, relationships that work sometimes and then don't work. You know, I think it's sort of that cycle that we would each describe in our own way that we're trying to break free of. So when, you know, when things are going great, you know, everything is beautiful and we feel like we are in control. But when things are not going great, they often send us into an emotional, you know, whirlwind, each of us reacting according to our individual levels of emotional and spiritual strength and courage. Okay? But the divine truth is, wherever you are right now, emotionally and spiritually, is neither good nor bad. It is just where you are right now. And let's remember that while traveling on, you know, the spiritual path, condemnation of ourselves or our lives is counterproductive to our spiritual awakening. You know, we want to stick to that slogan that we use here at Unity Center of Light, you know, self-observation without condemnation. You do not want to get into a position of condemning any part of your life or yourself, because that cuts you off from the flow of divine ideas and divine inspiration that could take you to the next level of what you're striving for. So remember, in lessons 4 of the previous series, how, you know, to be at ease, it was about how to be at ease with life itself. That was what it was at, how to be at ease with life itself. So condemnation has no place in your spiritual growth. For example, in terms of the question, what's the goal here? You know, we're not studying spiritual principles to be made whole, all right? And a lot of times, that's what we might say, well, I'm studying these principles because I want to be made whole. That's not our goal. We are doing this spiritual work to wake up to the truth that we are already whole, okay? All of the readings I'm doing lately are saying that anything that we are experiencing that does not, you know, give us a sense of wholeness and spiritual depth is purely an illusion. And we're going to talk about that more in a minute. But the truth about spiritual work is that there is no getting there or arriving, all right? So we got to kind of get that out of our heads, that you know, I can't wait until I get there or I arrive. There is only awakening to who we already are. And again, you hear me say this a lot, but it's really the only dynamic of the path that we're on, this idea of awakening to who we really are. And I was, you know, reading recently that when Buddha, and I love this, when Buddha said, I'm awake, and you heard me talk about this a lot, he said, when I'm awake, he meant he realized that he was not actually a participant in the illusion, but he was the maker of the entire illusion. You know, now he was clear that the illusion existed and he was the creator. So that's going back to this idea that, you know, our consciousness creates our reality. But he realized that his consciousness was creating reality, and he understood what the illusion was, which gave him the opportunity to do the next level of work, which was to move out of that. And actually, what I was reading was saying, you know, some of the things I share with you, you know, you take them with a grain of salt, but they were saying that Buddha did reach the level of Jesus, but not in that lifetime that was reported. He reached it in another lifetime. So anyway, you know, like I said, take that with a grain of salt. You know, but if you're a Matrix fan, this is similar to the scene where Neo was being shot at in a hallway. I don't know if you can remember that, who are into the Matrix. But instead of cowering from the bullets, he realized it was just an illusion that he was creating. which gave him the ability to change his experience. You know, in the movie, he stopped the bullets and actually picked them out of the air, you know. So that's sort of an extreme example of the idea of what happens when you realize that you are creating the experience that you're having. I was trying to move away from the word illusion right at that moment, because for us, it's not an illusion. You have to think Buddha went through years and years and years of meditative practice before he got to the point where he realized that it was an illusion. But for us right now, illusion is a word we can realize, but at the same time, for us, it's very real because it's what we're experiencing. And this is possibly what we are striving for, you know, in terms of what Buddha experienced and what was depicted in the movie. That's to be able to change our experience by realizing the illusion that we are creating, and then use the power of our consciousness to change our reality. Now, history tells about people who have done this, okay? Even more recently, I've heard stories of people who cured themselves of cancer, of AIDS, and, you know, other things, because they realized that they were creating that reality, and they made the change within themselves to give themselves a different reality. In the book, The Isaiah Effect, it talks about the idea of, in China, they actually have developed methods to help patients change the reality that they're experiencing. So doctors are using this methodology of helping patients to change the reality that they're experiencing by changing their consciousness. So, you know, the things we're talking about are not aligned with people like Jesus or Buddha or whatever, but normal people are reaching these levels of consciousness where they can change what is happening in their lives. And then all enlightened masters talk about this idea, about there's nothing that you're experiencing that you can't change by changing your consciousness, changing the way you are viewing your experience. As we talked about in the last two lessons, our divine origin, is from the other side of, our divine origin is from the other side of the veil, what I'm getting at. But we have unconsciously allowed our five sensory existence to pull the wool over our eyes, so to speak. You know, as the saying goes, you know, making us believe that we are on the ego side of the veil instead of the spiritual side of the veil. But the truth is, in this scenario, the veil is an illusion, because in reality, there is no veil. But it's like the line in Shakespeare's Hamlet, Act 2, Scene 2, page 11, for there is nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so, okay? And that's the part of the, you know, spiritual process we're striving to learn. How do I wake up from the illusion that I am creating? But we do have, you know, our moments when we tap into the other side of the veil, you know, again, realizing the veil is an illusion. So what we're saying here, the veil is an illusion, so we have our moments where we break through the illusion, okay, and get a glimpse of our divinity. But typically, those moments are so fleeting that we do not usually realize that the peace we're experiencing is from the spiritual side of the veil. So sometimes you get this sense of peace that comes over you for, you know, a moment or even a while, you know, and it's real peace. You are tapping in, you have broken through the illusion, okay, and you're tapping into that part of the of ourselves that is the real spiritual dynamics of us. Now, again, you have to understand, there is nothing that truly separates us from the spiritual side of ourselves. That's why I'm saying that this idea of the veil is purely an illusion. Like I said, our five sensory perception is pull the wool over our eyes, you know, using, a saying, and we are kind of blinded to the fact that what we are is pure spirit. Okay? And all conversations about separation is an illusion created by dualistic thinking. Now, there's a whole another talk I can do about that idea, about how dualistic thinking creates the illusion of separation, because dualistic thinking makes us think that there's us and God, okay? And when you might have heard me say this before, and even Jesus used the mathematics of 1 + 1 = 1. So when we reach a point when we truly tap into God, then we realize that there is not us and God. There's not me and God. All there is God. Okay? But dualistic thinking has separated us from that concept, that idea, that ideology that we call God. But in essence, there is no separation. Separation is purely an illusion created by our dualistic thinking. All right? But the fact that we feel we cannot tap into and embrace the peace that surpasses all understanding has caused us to develop the language of separation. Okay? So our experiences here have caused us to create this language of separation. So a question to ponder is, do we believe that what we perceive ourselves to be right now is all there is to us? You know, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. You look in the mirror, is that all there is, you know, to us? Okay? In other words, does the significance and consequences of the events and circumstances and relationships that we experience stop at the level of our 5-sensory perception? Okay? If we see it, smell it, taste it, feel it, you know, with all those different things, is that it? You know, is that all there is to us? Do we stop in terms of our understanding of experience at that level, or is there something going on at a deeper and higher level that we are presently unaware of? How many of you ever had a time when you just started feeling kind of blue, and somebody might ask you, you know, what's going on? You kind of go, I don't know. I just feel a little down for some reason, okay? You know, that's what we're talking about. What is going on at deeper levels within ourselves? Or on the other side of it, you've got this great enthusiasm going on, and somebody says, what's going on? You say, I don't know. I just feel really good right now, all right? So there's always something more going on in our experience than our 5-sensory perception. And a bigger question to contemplate is, do we even care to know what this greater thing is that's going on in us? You know what I'm saying? Do we really care to know, truly know, and want to know what is the depth, really in the depths of our being? So the answer to the question, what is this life process really all about, really is a question that only folks who really have a strong desire to want to know what is this life experience really all about, that will, you know, try to go after it. Most people, you know, are just interested in finding the end to our pain. You know, I don't really need to know how it's happening. I just want the pain to stop, the fear to stop, the struggle, the conflict, the lack, relationships that do work sometimes and do not work. You know, I really don't care how it happens. I just want it to happen. So there's the idea of it. So it's the idea of when Jesus fed the 5,000, which, you know, we know was really about 15,000 because they didn't count women and children. But when he fed the 5,000, you know, gave his talk and he walked away, the people came looking after him, and he said, they're not coming after me to learn more of how I did it, so to speak. You know, that's not exactly what he said, but he said, they're not coming to learn how I did it. They just want more bread and fish. You get what I'm saying? So that's saying that those are folks that, we don't care how you did it, Jesus, just, you know, give us some more food. So that's what we're saying is, do you just want more food? Do you just want to be healed? Or do you want to understand how the healing process happens? What is the depth of the process? You know, in other words, do we want to know how Jesus fed the 5,000, healed the sick, raised the dead, and even resurrected his own body? Or do we just want to be given more bread and be healed without knowing how the divine process occurs? All right. So as was shared in last week's lesson, when you own your own divinity, okay, when you own your own divinity, you're capable of doing the work of God for yourself. And this is what God wants for us. That is to be the Christ that we are, that we can do the work for ourselves. So go back to Buddha. He begins to realize that this is an illusion. I'm clear that this is an illusion. And not only am I clear that this is an illusion, but I am creating it. Okay? And yes, this idea of being the Christ can be exhausting, right? Spiritual work can be exhausting, right? Because it involves bringing all your thoughts, feelings, and emotions into complete harmony with your spiritual center, okay? That place we strive to go to in our prayer and meditation time. So when we're doing our prayers and meditation, we're trying to do that. We're trying to you know, enter into our spiritual center. I was telling Pam the last few nights, I have a lot of things going on in my life right now that I have to accomplish within certain time periods, including, you know, coming up with Sunday talks. And I was telling her that, and a lot of times it wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I'm going through all these things, I'm saying to myself, why do I have to think about this now? So the last two nights, I got this affirmation in my head, and it doesn't really matter what it was, because you can make up your own. And I kept, anytime I was awake, all that was in my mind was that affirmation. I used it, I was able to stick with it to such a degree that all these thoughts about what I had to accomplish were pushed out, okay? And if I typically wake up several times during the night, and when I would wake up, I would just go right back to that affirmation, okay? So that was the idea of trying to keep myself centered as opposed to let myself become scattered as life has a tendency to do for us. So again, do we always, you know, get there to this spiritual center, you know, where when we're doing our prayer and meditation? Now, I can tell you that I don't. You know, I don't always get there to that spiritual center when I'm doing my meditation. Sometimes when I finish the sit of Pam, I say, well, that was a waste of time. You know, it wasn't really a waste of time, but that's how I felt. Because all I did during that time was think about all the things I had to do. Okay, but the key here is whether I am able to get to that spiritual center in a meditation or not, I keep at it. All right? And I keep at it with pure intent, a word from last week. Pure intent to remove the veil that has me believing that I'm separate from God. Okay, I keep at it, I keep at it, I keep at it until I can remove that veil or that illusion. Now, in the book, Lifting the Veil, the New Energy Apocalypse by, you know, Kryon speaking through Lee Carroll. I don't know if you understand the works of Kryon and Lee Carroll, but it's Kryon speaking through Lee Carroll. It gives this call to service for all who call themselves Christians. Okay, so Kryon is giving this call to service for all who call themselves Christians. Okay, now he did this for every group. He did it for the Jews, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists. I think those are the major groups. He went through each one of them, and what he did was he described what they believe, and then call them to service to be about, with pure intent, that which they say they believe, okay? So I'm going to bring up a slide of what he said to the Christians, right? And I know it's a little crowded, but I want you to read this. So he says, Christians, what are you going to do? What have you been taught? How about the light of the Master Christ? What did he say? Have you been taught that you could change things with prayer? Was there something about moving a mountain? The answer is yes. Is it not so that part of everything that you've learned is to start with prayer, end with prayer, go home in prayer before you eat, you know, pray before you eat, pray before you sleep? What is that all about? Okay, I will tell you, that is communication with God. It is strong, and you are up to it. Join the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Jew and send that light to those places that need it. Now is the time. You are part of the issue, the profound part, a beautiful part. Your light is so great. Okay. Now, that's powerful because it's telling us what we need to be doing. Okay. So this is the intent of, this is the way of pure intent. From last week's lesson, we expressed that pure intent is real, genuine, authentic focus. It is when you enter the silence purely to commune with God. So a simple thing, what is pure intent is when you enter the silence purely to commune with God. Knowing, and again this is from last week's lesson, knowing that God knows who you are and what you are about, okay? God being the underlying truth that will give you the peace and patience to be at ease no matter what is occurring in your life. Now, this is the way to be in the light, okay? You say, how can I be in the light? Is that you're in the light when you're operating from pure intent. And as Lord Alfred Tennyson expressed, closer is God than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. So our spiritual work is to develop that real, genuine, authentic focus, that pure intent to tap into the proximity that God is. But, as we all know, this is easier said than done. Okay, so now this is another slide I want to share. It's from C.S. Lewis. This is what he expressed. He said, the terrible thing, okay, the most impossible thing is to hand over your whole self, all your wishes, precautions to Christ. But it is far easier than what we are all trying to do instead. For what we are trying to do is remain what we call ourselves, to keep personal happiness as our great aim in life, and yet at the same time, you know, be good, all right? Now, we're going to explain a lot of that, you know, more as we go along, but just to leave that up for a minute, it's far easier than what we are all trying to do instead, for what we're trying to do is remain what we call ourselves, to keep our personal happiness. That is what, those are the things we say, this is what makes me happy, okay? We're trying to hold on to that personal happiness as our great aim in life, when we're saying our great aim in life is to be in touch with Spirit, okay? So, and yet at the same time, this idea of be good. And we'll, like I said, we'll talk more about that in a second, okay? So this takes us back to the title, what is the goal here? Now, C.S. Lewis is expressing that it is easier to surrender to our Christ self than it is to try to hold on or remain as we are. Now, that's a topic for discussion, okay? I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but I love to have discussion in the fellowship part of service when this is over. And that's a topic for discussion. You know, I'm sure most would agree to the opposite of what Lewis is expressing, that it is easier to remain as we are, because even though it may not always be easy to be me, as my friend Big Dave McElwain would used to say, it ain't easy being me, all right? So it's not always easy to be me, but it is, however, what I know, all right? So that's why I'm saying it, what we are thinking is could be opposite of what C.S. Lewis is saying. He's saying it's easier to surrender to Christ than it is to try to remain as we are, okay? But, it really depends on our own inner thinking process about this. And so whereas, you know, all of who we proclaim to be on the path to awakening to the Christ potential, you know, we really cannot envision or articulate what that's all about. So, yes, I can articulate what I'm about, pretty much so. But if somebody says to me, well, what is it like? What is it going to be like when you, you know, awaken to the Christ potential within you? What is that going to be? Can you envision? Can you articulate that? And we just got to go, would probably go, I don't know. Right? I don't know if you know when you lift your shoulders like that, you're building your tricep muscles up here.
Traps.
Thank you. We should all have big traps because that's what we do a lot. I don't know. Okay. All right. So that's why it's easier to stay as we are, because we cannot really envision, articulate, or describe what it would be like to be fully spiritually awakened. Okay. So to paraphrase a quote, it is better to stick with what I know than what I don't know, okay? That's sort of the idea, you know, that I know how to be me, and that's what a lot of us are saying. I just stick with what I know, okay? So this path, then, to be real clear, is asking us to step out of what we know. That's the whole key. That's what I'm struggling with, and that all that's happening right now in terms of all the things that are happening in the world, I think a lot of us are still approaching it as me, all right, as opposed to being an instrument or a channel through which the greater answer can flow. But again, I think for most of us, the way we get there is we keep having conversation. And as we're having conversation, and I don't know if this happens to you, but I'm sure it does, in your conversation, really talking from your own perspective, you get these little glimpses, these little lights of something greater than you would have possibly said under normal conditions. That's what I'm trying to get to, is what is that that is greater than what we know that will help us to move beyond what we're going through right now, okay? So again, I have no clue how to be spiritual, but I do know how to be me. I've got to learn how to break free of that me-ness so that I can get to that next level of potentiality within me. So we've explored several times in past lessons how being me is a doing process, okay? Being me is a doing process, all right? Referring to all of the things we each have to do to maintain the facade of what we each call me, okay? Now, that can sometimes be exhausting, all right, to constantly work at the me, especially that we want people to see. The definition of facade being an outward appearance that is maintained to conceal a less pleasant or credible inner reality. Okay? So this whole thought refers us back to C.S. Lewis's statement, what we're trying to do is remain what we call ourselves, no matter what. And then there's the other path, which is sort of opposite to doing. And you know what it is. It's the process of letting, as in letting go of the constant effort it takes to be an instrument of the illusion of self. Let me say that again. The letting go of the constant effort it takes to be an instrument of the illusion of self. And instead, what we want to move to is let ourselves become an instrument for God, as in, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. So instead of striving to be good, as C.S. Lewis stressed, as being challenging, you surrender yourself to be an instrument of thy good. All right? Now, you've heard me say it before. So doing versus letting, that is a question. Doing versus letting, that's a question. And that also is our dilemma, okay? The dilemma is I keep doing me, or do I let go and let God be God through me? Let me say that again. Do I keep striving and trying to hold on to being me, or do I let go and let God be an instrument for God to do its perfect work through me? Okay. So that's our question and our dilemma. And it's the difficult and interesting choice before us. You know, it is a difficult and interesting choice. Which do you want? And what makes it even more challenging as we search for remedies and quick fixes for awakening to our innate divine potential, as we discover, and all this searching we're doing is, you know, we're trying prayer, meditation, we're trying reading this, we're going to things, we're watching seminars, we're doing all these things. Mainly, we're looking for a quick fix. But the thing we find out is there is no quick fix, and there are no remedies, all right, other than constant prayer and meditation, with that pure intent to just commune with Spirit, all right? So this takes us back to last week's lesson, in which we discussed passive intent as being trying this and trying that to try to awaken spiritually, as opposed to pure intent, which is real, genuine, authentic focus. And I repeat, pure intent is when you enter into the silence purely to commune with God, knowing that God knows who you are and what you are about. Okay. So in this consciousness of pure intent, you surrender to the true, everlasting, healing, prospering power of the Holy Spirit that's continuously baptizing you. Right? Now, the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism is to wash away all the false beliefs we have and that we have inherited from about our dualistic thinking. We've inherited that from dualistic race consciousness. Okay. It's been going on ever since we have been on this planet. So those false beliefs are that the quality of our good is based on attaining and hoarding various forms of external power. As in, if I only had more of this, I would be happy, whatever this is for each one of us. And that's part of the mental process. Now, at the same time that I'm sharing this with you, this is not something that I've overcome. There's always more stuff that I want, all right? But the key is we're going after this external dynamic because we feel that there's some power in it. And I think we all would agree that it's good to have more of whatever it is that makes us happy. You know, we're not negating that. It is actually our divine right to have what our hearts desire. And we read that in Luke 12:32, that Jesus said, "Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Okay. So having more stuff, whatever that stuff is in your life, you know, whatever it might be, we're not saying there's anything wrong with that. We're just saying make sure you're not doing that as a conscious or unconscious motive to gain more power, okay? More power, even as more power to just be happy, okay? So again, we don't want external things to be that which is making us happy, even though that's, you know, let's face it, that's what is, okay? But it's important to recognize that the things, circumstances, and situations we desire do not actually have any power to make us happy. Rather, they are merely symbols of our unconscious glimpse into the reality of the true source of all good, which is God, okay? So all these things that we're reaching for out here, there's an unconscious dynamic that's going on inside of us that really what we want is we want more of the true source of the all good, which is God. But because, again, we can't describe what that is, we find ourselves unconsciously trying to get it from external sources. So another point that is probably more challenging than the first is that the situations, events, people in our lives are not there purely for our enjoyment and sometimes pain, but rather they are there to aid us while we are on a very special mission. The mission is what C.S. Lewis called the almost impossible thing, which is to surrender ourselves to the divine process. And our life and all that is within it is designed to help us achieve that. Everything that is happening in our lives is designed to achieve helping us to wake up to the truth of who we really are. Okay? That's the goal here. And as I have stated several times, I truly believe that all the turmoil in the world right now is the homework assignment from the universe given to each one of us individually and collectively to create a new direction for humanity. And that's where my head is trying to understand that, because that is such a massive challenge for us on this planet right now, because everything that's going on is planet-wide. I mean, you're hearing the news lately, all the countries, different countries and all, and in addition to the United States, COVID is like going crazy. It's almost like COVID said, you know, like the coronavirus said, you guys are not taking me seriously. You're not taking this lesson seriously, right? There's a lesson to be learned here. You're not taking it seriously. You're closing down. You're taking time, you know, to be inside and time you could use to think about and pray about, you know, all of what's going on. You do that for a few minutes and then boom, all of a sudden, you know, phase two, phase three, you're back out doing what you were doing before. And it's like the universe is saying, no, this is not over, all right? It's not over until you get it, all right? And that's what's going on in my head, you know, is what is it that we need to get on a larger scale more than just looking at the thing itself, the experience itself? There's something greater than that that we need to be open to have unfold within us, okay? And it's becoming increasingly evident that we can't go back. you know me, that's my slogan, we can't go back. But, you know, others that you hear saying we can't go back. So all the discussions that are going on right now about COVID and racial awakening, political confusion, represents all of us searching for a new way, while at the same time trying to unravel ourselves from the danger and destruction of our tendency to stick to the old way, all right? And that's what's going on. We are trying to, you know, come up with new ideas, but at the same time, we have this tendency to want to stick to the old way. You still will hear us say, I can't wait to get back to the way things were, all right? We will even say it after saying the sentence that we can't go back. Right? So that's what I'm saying. There's this confusion going on in the consciousness of humanity right now, right? And so until we can straighten out that confusion, let ourselves know there is no way we're going back, all right, to what was, to normalize what was. And you heard that. I forgot the name of the person that I used to that statement from, that we were trying to normalize what was, but there's no way, you know, that we're going back to that. So just ask yourself, Doesn't it seem that there has to be a greater purpose to life, to the universe, than what we have been led to believe by generations before us? Okay? It is time for us to be willing to look at ourselves and our lives through a higher level of understanding. Okay? The Christ has been enthroned in each one of us. Let me say that again. The Christ has been enthroned in each one of us. And that is the truth. Jesus came to teach us that we are joint heirs with him to the peace, love, and joy of the universe. However, to fully grasp this truth, there is something we must do first, referring again to what C.S. Lewis called the almost impossible. We must first unlearn all the false notions we have about who we think we are. The great challenge with unlearning these false notions is that we have spent a lifetime, actually several lifetimes, believing that which is false is true, and that which is true is an unreachable spiritual or religious endeavor. Okay? So this is difficult for most of us to grasp, mainly because we don't want to be the answer. All right? As we said, I think it was in the last series, I said, you have to allow the answer to come through you. Many of us don't want to be the answer. And it's not that we're not willing to do the work. You know, think about all the people on the front line of the pandemic. I mean, my heart goes out when you see that on the news. These people are working hours and hours on end, you know, with patients in the pandemic. I don't know if you saw any of the news of the firefighters and the people and the first responders for the floods. And the fire. They're exhausted, okay? And the racial unrest. I mean, all these things. Even in New Thought, it is possible that at times we unconsciously want to be some God in the sky who can solve or invoke a cosmic solution to solve all the world's problems. I'm willing to bet that. Even in New Thought. New Thought people who don't believe in a God in the sky, okay, are wishing that it was a God in the sky that could give a cosmic solution and solve all the world problems. Well, we know that there is no God in the sky. But there is a divine consciousness that loves us so much that it individualized itself as each one of us. As you heard me say before, we are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the divine mind that created the universe, that divine intelligence that is the universe. It's enthroned in each one of us, waiting for us to discover it for ourselves. Okay? And that's why this dualistic thinking is the real problem for us, because we still believe that there's me and God. We'll say, I am one with God, but we're not understanding really what that means. Okay, and I'll save that for another lesson. So this divine intelligence is not just waiting for us to connect with us. It has given us the guidance of one who became flesh and walked among us to show us the way to the kingdom of heaven within. And it has also given us the continuous activity of the Holy Spirit, constantly calling us back to turn within for guidance, protection, abundance, wholeness, and joy. So let's ask ourselves again, what is our goal here? What is your goal here? What is my goal here? All right? Let the answer to that question for yourself make your intentions pure. So when you get the answer hopefully will make your intentions pure. It'll make my intentions pure. And I'm going to end with this quote that we can use as an affirmation. And it says, at the end of the day, I'm at peace because my intentions are good and my heart is pure. And so it is. Thank you. Amen. And we're going to have a meditation now with Pamela.
Good morning again, Unity family. Let's begin by becoming still. Allow your eyes to gently close and let go of the outer distractions, fears, and doubts that seem to be where our focus is so often. Take a deep breath now and know that this is God life that you are breathing in. And as you exhale, feel the presence soothing your mind, soul, and body. Take another breath and let it go. Now a deeper inhale and exhale fully, releasing all negativity, worry, and fear. As you continue your deep breathing, let's acknowledge the power and presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives, affairs, and our world. As you make this acknowledgement, know that as we take the breath to a deeper level within, we feel it expanding at a soul level. Now we decree our oneness with this absolute power of love as we are all made in the image and likeness of God. In the book Practical Metaphysics by Unity Minister Eric Butterworth, he says that the key to understanding prayer is allness of God. Prayer can only be effective when we think oneness. Prayer is to know oneness. Be still and know that I am God. God is not absent. God is present as a presence. So let us allow the infinite presence to do its perfect work in us, to hear us, guide us, and direct us to the secret place of the highest. This is the place of love, peace, joy, and faith. Allow these blessings to be expressed in your life. Please use the next few moments to pray and receive answers to your prayers. We are more than grateful, Holy Spirit, to receive answers to our prayers. We go forth this day and all days that follow in your guidance and direction, knowing there is order in the universe in spite of appearances. Breathe now and get ready to experience a beautiful day in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you, and that was beautiful. This is the time we do our offering blessing together, and we ask that you allow some of the treasure that flows into your life to flow into your spiritual home so we can keep doing this wonderful work for you. And at the same time, we thank you for all the wonderful gifts that are continuously coming in. It comes from our heart to know that the Unity Center community is really there supporting its spiritual home. So with that, let's do our affirmation for our offering blessing together. Together, we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Are there light notes for today or not today? Okay, all right. So, again, we've had a wonderful time with you. We are going to do our, the prayer for protection. Thank you. All right, so let's do that together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So again, thank you for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Or in the Zoom room.
Or in the thing. Thank you. right after this in the Zoom room. Maybe you'll be in there. We can discuss some of the points we talked about this morning. Like right. I said, I always love to have discussion around the talk. So we will see you then.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.